Now it's fairly straightforward.
Like, you know,
Welcome, everyone. We just had a little glitch here because there's no baptismal family. So we were just waiting a little bit to see if they were coming. So we don't know what happened there, but welcome, everyone, to this worship service this morning. And what announcements I have is not in the bulletin for the most part, but I'm going to call on Kim Robinson. She has an announcement about one of the, well, we're going to do the announcements at the bottom. But this one is about a former choir member.
We have recently found out that Alan Day, our former bass from the choir who recently moved to the East Coast, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So on top of everything that they've been going through, they now have that. So if you could please keep them in your prayers and remember them. They were quite active in the church, him and Anne, and we missed them, and we're just sending our best wishes to them.
We also have a card at the back for everybody to sign. The announcements I'm going to make this morning aren't in the bulletin, and I'm going to start with fellowship time. It's returned once again for after church, and as one church calls it, a chance to chat and chew. There's a sign-up sheet at the back for the dates that you can provide the refreshments for fellowship time. The next announcement was something that we used to do before 2020 and COVID struck. We used to have prayer stones at the back of the church for people to use when they came in for the worship service. So I'm just going to briefly explain it to you for those who were not attending church here at that time. At the back of the church, starting next Sunday, you will see a basket of stones. You're invited to take a stone and hold it for a while, praying for the person or situation that is weighing heavy on your hearts. You are then invited to place that stone in the other basket that will be there, and during the worship service, the basket of your prayed on stones will be brought up to the front to be received before pastoral prayer. As Psalm 55:22 says, give your burdens to God to carry for you. There are books for sale along the side there and baskets for you to put your money in. So have a look-see to see if there's anything that you would like to purchase. I'm going to call on Beth to talk about the Easter givings.
Good morning. My name is Bev Roy, and I'm the treasurer of the church. On March the 31st, Easter Sunday, the counters diligently took the offering to the back, counted it all up, made note of the checks against each envelope number, counted the cash, but unfortunately, in error, placed the church envelopes in the deposit bag. So off it went to the Toronto Dominion Bank, who who sends it to Montreal for counting. So we have made attempts to get the church envelopes back, but they have told us not to hold our breath. So what happens is that we are unable for any cash donation to mark it against your envelope number for your official tax receipt. So what we're going to do is keep that deposit open until the end of the month. If you can recall, I put $20 in my envelope. I added an extra $20 for Easter. And a lot of folks give the same donation every Sunday. So on the honor system, if you can recall what cash, not checks, were in your envelope, Debbie will make note of that, and it'll help us to do a proper posting. It's all we can do to rectify the situation. Now, Debbie's not here this Sunday, but Kim is, and I was going to say I'll be at the back for a while as well. Let me know. Yes, I put this in my envelope, and it was a cash donation. I'll make note of it. I'll ask you to initial that, and then we will post that amount to your envelope number. So it was a mistake that was made. I apologize for any inconvenience, and we will do our best to rectify it. Thank you.
Now, the choir is going to take over, and Kim has another announcement about an event that is coming up next Sunday.
Again, I am Kim Robinson. In keeping with Aaron's sermon a while back about increasing our presence in the community, the Knox St. Paul's Choir would like to invite everyone to an Earth Day event next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. We will be providing a mix of music and readings honoring our planet and the great things that it provides for us. This event is being done in partnership with St. John's Presbyterian Church, so please come out and enjoy this wonderful evening. There are little flyers in the back. If there's any place where you can put them up, please feel free. It is also on our Facebook page. Please share. And we also would just like to give you a little taste of what to expect.
All right. As we begin worship this Sunday, we remember that we are situated on the traditional lands of the Umpqua-Homwe. We acknowledge and give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit peoples on this land. And we are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect. And hold on that note, one last announcement. Some of you may know this and some of you may not. There was a remit that went out from the National Church that our board voted on. It was a question of letting the Indigenous Church, because when we changed the structure of the church back in 2019 to get rid of presbyteries and conferences, the places we had designated for the Indigenous Church serve only the Circle Conference and the different ways that Indigenous churches existed in the United Church of Canada. They were just sort of, they just disappeared for a bit. And so folks in Indigenous church said, we want some time to think about this, about how we want to be in the United Church of Canada, because the Indigenous church is just different. It's good, but different, because it's a whole different culture, many different cultures from coast to coast to coast. So they said, can we have some time to think about it? And then they came back to General Council saying, could you give us space to design something that's meaningful for us, where we don't need to come back and ask for permission every time we want to make a change? Because we need to try things out, we need to see what works, we need to design something that works for us. So they want something like that. And so because the United Church of Canada exists because of an act of parliament in Ottawa, we have to go through a process called remits. And so it had to go to every board of every pastoral charge and every regional council. And there had to be a majority who voted in favor, and anyone who didn't respond was an automatic no. And so there was a lot of deliberation about it. And the count just came in. And so this is a way we are living into reconciliation as a church, which is why I'm telling you this now. It's, we voted yes as a church. 80% of pastoral charges responded. Our regional council, Eastern Ontario Outaouais Regional Council, only had two pastoral charges who didn't respond. One because they were in the process of closing and couldn't respond. And the other who had talked about it and said, we just don't know, we can't make a decision, we are not going to vote. But they had at least considered it. And so these are ways we can live into reconciliation. And so I'm letting you know that as a church, we are making progress in this. And so we continue to live in the spirit of reconciliation and respect. Now we turn to our introit. So in keeping with the worship theme for this time after Easter, we are working our way through the themes that are in the United Church's A New Creed. And today is about Jesus the Christ. So let's call each other to worship. Who is Jesus for us? Who are we for Jesus? In God's love, in God's love, as people changed and changing, as disciples of Christ, as followers of Jesus' way, And as we worship God, we remember that we are partners and participants in the work of God. Together, we are committed to helping build a city on the Lord's journey. Let's pray. Holy God, we gather to give thanks for the wonders we experience through you, the interplay of shadows and fiery brightness, the seeming dichotomy of doubt and faith, the mystery of death and resurrection. Meet us in these moments, move among us, and lift our hearts as we praise your name. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus." Let's join in our prayer of confession. Holy One, Maker and Keeper of creation, Life of life, we praise you. We sing joy. Forgive us when we let our world get so small that there is no room for strangers or for new ways. But do it gently, Lord. We like our routines. We like our security and our comfortable habits. Friends, the good news of Easter is that death is turned into new life. The promise we have from God is that this is not the end of the story, but the beginning of a new chapter. God's grace transforms all that we confess to bring about new life and to show us a different path.
Thanks be to God. So for the folks who are on the slides and running things, just to let you know what's happening now, we're going to transition into our time for the young at heart. I have a story. And then we'll sing the hymn, and then we'll skip right down to the scripture. So we'll skip all the baptismal stuff. All right. So anyone who wants to join me for a story, you are welcome to. How are you guys doing? Not too bad? Doing okay? Yeah? Good. So this is a story called That's Why These Things Happened. And so this comes after Jesus' death and after his resurrection. And some disciples had walked on the road. They were walking to Emmaus. And a stranger joined them. And they were telling that stranger all about Jesus and all the things that had happened. And the stranger started talking to them. And as they were talking, they realized, actually, this isn't a stranger. This is someone we weren't expecting to see. This is Jesus. And so after they had a meal with them and with Jesus in Emmaus, they ran back to Jerusalem to talk to their friends. And so this story picks up here. "I hope the other disciples believe us," said Cleopas, as they hurried back along the road to Jerusalem. It was dark. They didn't feel safe, but the disciples wanted to go to Jerusalem quickly. They wanted to tell the others that Jesus was alive. When they got to Jerusalem, the other disciples didn't believe them. "But we saw him ourselves. We walked along the road with him. You know, but we didn't recognize him at first. We thought he was just a stranger we met on the road. We invited him to come and eat with us. And then, just when he picked up a loaf of bread and broke it in two, right then we knew it was Jesus." "But it couldn't have been," said Peter. "But it was. And Mary of Magdala saw Jesus too, didn't you, Mary?" Mary nodded her head, but Jesus just turned away. He wanted to believe that Jesus was alive, but he just couldn't. Cleopas didn't know what else to say. He just started to help Peter and the others get food ready. Nobody said anything. They were all confused, and they were all worried. Then, something strange happened. All of a sudden, Jesus was there in the room with them. "Peace be with you," said Jesus. And he smiled. "Why are you so afraid? It's me. It's me, your friend Jesus." "I don't believe that," said Peter. "Jesus was hung up on a cross. Nobody is alive after being hung up on a cross." "That's true," said Jesus. "But look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see where the nails went through. Come and touch me. A ghost doesn't have a body that you can touch. A ghost doesn't have feet to walk on and hands to hold things." Peter didn't know what to think. He was both happy and afraid at the same time. "Thanks for inviting me to dinner," said Jesus. "I'm hungry." So they gave him a piece of fish, and they watched Jesus eat it. "Wow," said Peter. "Now I know you're not a ghost. Ghosts don't eat food." Peter wasn't afraid anymore. He was so happy he wanted to jump up and down. "Jesus, you are alive. You're alive." "Yes, Peter," Jesus smiled at him. "I'm alive. Now let's all sit down together. There's some things I need to tell you." And then Jesus talked to them about all the stories in the Bible, about Moses and Jeremiah, about Ruth and Isaiah and Esther. He talked about the Psalms that they sing. "If you listen really hard to these stories, you'll understand why I had to be killed and how it is that I'm alive again. But here's something even more important," Jesus said. "I want you to go and tell as many people as you can.
Tell them the stories of all the things that we did together in Galilee. Tell them that I was killed, but now I'm alive again. Do we really have to do that? Peter asked. People might laugh at us if we tell them that you were killed and now you're alive again. Who would believe us? This is true, Peter. But God will help you feel strong enough to tell those stories, even if people laugh at you or tease you. So go and tell everyone. Jesus looked at each of his friends. Go and tell everyone you can. Then tell them I came to show all the people how much God loves them. And that's why all these things happened. So can we say a little prayer? God, we thank you for the ways that you show up in our lives, that you surprise us, that you remind us that you truly are present. We ask that you keep surprising us this day and every day as we grow in our faith. Amen. All right, thank you.
Prayer for illumination. Open our minds, Holy God. Bring us understanding of your word. Speak through our scriptures. Communicate also through our experiences. Let us discover you in our midst, so that we too may grow in faith and live in the grace you give. The first focus lesson this morning is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The second lesson is from Luke 24, verse 36b to 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were... While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you set anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul United Church to hear God's continuing call to us.
Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. As we turn to our gospel today, I can't help but notice all the sensory pieces involved with it. In response to the disciples' terror and confusion, unable to quite believe that the risen Christ is actually in their midst, and I can't blame them. They couldn't believe that Christ was a real live human being, not a ghost or a divine appearance. Jesus appeals to their senses, to the things that they can perceive in different ways. "Look, touch," he says. "Ghosts don't have skin and bones, do they?" The disciples could physically reach out and touch Jesus. They could observe the marks of torture that were still there. But wait. If that's not enough, there's more. Jesus said, "Give me some food." Proving he's not a zombie, Jesus ate the fish. And some of the other ancient texts say he had some honeycomb too. The disciples likely would have had the scent and the taste of the food too, since they were likely eating the same food or had just finished eating that same meal. Not to mention they could likely hear Jesus chewing and swallowing, because honestly, I expect that room was so silent they could hear a pin drop. Then echoing the story that came just before this one in Luke's gospel, that one of the disciples encountering Christ on the way to Emmaus, Jesus delves into the scriptures, just like he did with those disciples, relying on the scriptures to explain what was happening and relying on the disciples' foundational knowledge of their faith to figure it out, to connect the dots. And finally, as the disciples began to understand, Jesus commissioned them, "Go bear witness
go and tell. Help folks to believe what that even when unimaginable things happen, it's not the end of the story. There is more. Help folks to live in God's way, trusting in God's ability to bring about new life. Go and share this good news. It's a commission that has carried on through generations, that command to bear witness to the risen Christ. It's part of the new creed, and we would have said it during the baptism, but in case you don't know it, the parts I'm referring to says we can believe in God, come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new. We are called to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. The trouble is, we don't have those same experiences as the first disciples. It is infinitely easier to talk about something when we've had firsthand encounters. It's a lot more difficult when we're relying on scriptures and stories of the past. What we do have are the scriptures and our statements of faith, the ones that outline Jesus' life and work and death and resurrection. And we also have encounters with each other, our encounters with other people that leave us feeling like we were just in the presence of the divine. I think you know the ones I'm talking about. Those moments of utter vulnerability where someone offers us dignity and respect. Those moments of immense grace when we were expecting to be shamed. Those moments where we find nourishment of body, mind, or soul when we are famished and parched. Those moments when we realize that through someone's actions, we have been able to find freedom from the things that once tormented us. Those moments where we feel truly alive, surprising us because not that long ago, we were thoroughly stuck in death's dark valley. Those moments where someone embodies hope so thoroughly that it's contagious. There are probably more. And sometimes, I think it's a bit rare, but sometimes there are even moments of transcendence when we experience the risen Christ directly, not unlike St. Paul and his vision of Christ, since he had never met Jesus. But he had that vision of Christ in his midst that caused him to completely turn his life around. And sometimes we are the ones offering that experience of Christ to others through the ways that we choose to live in the world, doing our best to follow the way of Christ. Or sometimes through God working through us in ways we might never even guess at or imagine unless someone tells us later. All the same, believing in Jesus is certainly about knowing the story. It's about proclaiming Jesus as Christ, yes. It's also about experiencing that risen Christ and the radical hope that death doesn't have the final word, and experiencing it through the people we encounter. Belief, after all, isn't simply what we think, but how we live. And similarly, our belief is never static. It changes as we do. Now, there is something glorious about a childlike faith and children's faith. And there is something equally glorious about the more nuanced faith from those of us who've wrestled with things like doubt and pain and death and other pieces like that. And I think Jesus' post-resurrection appearances show us that, how the risen Christ still bears those marks of state-sanctioned torture and execution. Now the disciples still bear the trauma of having witnessed all that. And yet, in that moment together, sharing a meal, hearing sacred stories anew, experiencing Christ in their midst, physically being able to touch Jesus, there's redemption and a recognition that God is working to bring about something new. And so we too find those moments of grace, those moments of redemption in our own lives,
as our own faith gets more nuanced based on our experiences. We find grace when we don't quite know what to believe. When we get stuck in those valleys of the shadow of death. When we don't know how to hold this thing that has happened with our faith and there are growing pains. We find grace even if we get to a time in our lives when we no longer remember what we believe. For St. Paul writes to the Romans, in light of Christ's life and death and resurrection, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can keep God from loving us and from working in our lives. So it is with nuances like these that we turn to the ways that folks have put our faith into the words, and through the ages, these words have changed. Because the experiences have changed. There's some kind of consistencies through it all, but how we articulate them, it changes. Not unlike our faith. So believers and educated ones have met through the centuries to find ways of accurately describing Jesus for us. So I'm going to leave you with the most recent version of this in our, for our denomination, at least, in our United Church of Canada's faith statement entitled A Song of Faith. Now, that song is quite long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. We'd be here well past 11. But I'll read you the part about Jesus, whom we name the Christ. It goes like this. We sing of Jesus, a Jew, born to a woman in poverty in a time of social upheaval and political oppression. He knew human joy and sorrow, So filled with the Holy Spirit was he that in him people experienced the presence of God among them. We sing praise to God incarnate. Jesus announced the coming of God's reign, a commonwealth not of domination, but of peace, justice, and reconciliation. He healed the sick and fed the hungry. He forgave sins and freed those held captive by all manner of, those held captive by all manner of demonic powers. He crossed barriers of race and class and culture and gender. He preached and practiced unconditional love. Love of God, love of neighbor, love of friend, love of enemy. And he commanded his followers to love one another as he had loved them. Because his witness to love was threatening, those exercising power sought to silence Jesus. He suffered abandonment and betrayal, state-sanctioned torture and execution. He was crucified. But death was not the last word. God raised Jesus from death, turning sorrow into joy, despair into hope. We sing of Jesus raised from the dead. We sing hallelujah. By becoming flesh in Jesus, God makes all things new. In Jesus' life, teaching, and self-offering, God empowers us to live in love. In Jesus' crucifixion, God bears the sin, grief, and suffering of the world. In Jesus' resurrection, God overcomes death. Nothing separates us from the love of God. The risen Christ lives today, present to us and the source of our hope. In response to who Jesus was and all he did and taught, to his life, death, and resurrection, and his continuing presence with us through the Spirit, we celebrate him as the Word made flesh, the one in whom God and humanity are perfectly joined, the transformation of our lives, the Christ. So friends, in this world where we work with God, help build a city where no one journeys alone. My prayer is that we may continue to wrestle with the happenings of the world around us. May we continue to nuance our faith in Christ just as we continue to find ways of living as followers of Christ. And to use a blessing or paraphrase a blessing, may we continue to experience Christ in everyone we meet. And may everyone we meet experience Christ in us. May it be so. So I invite you to join together and sing, He Came Singing Love. Mm-hmm.
As you find your seats, this is a time in our service for faith sharing. It's a time when you're welcome to talk about some of those experiences of Christ in your midst. It's a time to talk about maybe something about the church and what the church has meant or done. Or it's a time to reflect, share some of your own reflections on the scriptures that we've read recently. You're welcome to come and share. And I'll ask, as I do, if you would kindly introduce yourself, because we think we know each other and sometimes names slip and we go, I know your face, but I can't remember your name. So please introduce yourself as you come up. Giving thanks for faith through generations and giving thanks for the ways that the Holy Spirit talks to us in moments of silence. We now turn to our time of dedication where we pray over all that we give in our response to God's love and God's grace to us and the way we want to move forward and help build the church and help be and embody the grace of God in the world. So we pray. Generous and loving God, you gave us this world and all that we have. Now we give what we are able so that we too can provide grace in a world of need. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Maker, source of Easter power and hope, you have journeyed with your faithful people through many generations, people facing challenge and uncertainty, people seeking your purpose and your promise. We still face challenges and uncertainty even with Easter in our hearts. Go the way with us and with those for whom we pray this day, so that your resurrecting power may lead us in lives of faithfulness. And so we pray for children and for young people who must think about the future in uncertain times, facing threats old and new. Give them hope rooted in the knowledge that their lives matter to you. Show them how to make a difference in the world, whatever threats they face as they grow. We pray for people for whom age or experience, illness or disability create barriers to full participation in your world. Surround each one in pain or despair with your comfort, and renew in each one a sense of dignity and purpose. Show them how much they matter to you and to us. We pray for all who are facing grief and any kind of loss. Give them strength and comfort. We pray for communities challenged by forces beyond their control, natural disaster and environmental threats, conflict and violence, economic hardship. Give courage to those facing these challenges and wisdom to those who lead, so that the well-being may be restored and hope for future may prevail. God, as signs of spring emerge, we pray for your creation, for creatures losing habitat and unique species at risk, for oceans clogged with plastic and the earth aching for moisture as the climate warms. Jesus, you are the firstborn of all creation. Help us to honor you by caring for the earth and its fragile balances. In the ways that we live and the priorities that we set, in these ways too, we would be your disciples. So we pray with the words that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you into our last hymn, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation.
Thank you.
So just before our blessing, a reminder, if you're unfamiliar with our worship, we tend to sit and listen to the postlude at the end of worship, just so you cue into what we're doing. And so as we leave this place, may we go encountering Christ in everyone we meet. May everyone we meet encounter Christ in us. And may we go blessed by God our Creator, Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit our Sanctifier.
Thursday, yes, yeah, 30.